The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
I'm Dwayne Barkley with American Rancher Garage, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
7:38, and as I always say, anytime I talk with an attorney, anyone who's running for judge or they want to be the district attorney, anything like that, it's like, oh, they're my favorite interviews because you can just ask them anything and there are no restrictions on them being able to talk to me. Of course, you know that's not true. but still, we try our best to tease out the truth of these various candidates running for office. One of them is Alyssa Bartholomew. She's running for district attorney. And Alyssa, it's a pleasure having you in. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Had your opponent on last week. Good talk. Looking forward to a good talk with you, too. And I guess the first thing, tell us just a little bit about yourself. I'll give you, some time to elevator pitch. I know you went to, Arizona? Was this Arizona?
Arizona State.
Yeah, Arizona State. So you went to Arizona State and graduated, went to Gonzaga.
Yes, that's correct.
Gonzaga, got your law degree there. How long have you been in practice?
So I graduated in 2001, and when I graduated, I immediately went to the Cowlitz County Prosecutor's Office, which is outside of Vancouver. It's Longview, Kelso area.
About what era was this?
This was 2001.
Okay, all right.
And that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a prosecutor. That was my whole goal. And so I did that. I quickly moved up the ranks. I dealt with, low-level crimes all the way to felony cases. And in Washington, it was interesting because we also got to work in appellate courts. So if something went on appeal, we handled that from the beginning. So I actually got to argue at the Washington State Court of Appeals, which was kind of cool. So then I met my husband, and in 2005, we moved down here to Southern Oregon, and he told me, he's like, hey, I got a job in Medford, Oregon. I said, I don't know where that is. And so,
that's so funny. It's how it worked out for me, I ended up here, too, at one point.
And so I came down here. There were no jobs over at the district attorney's office, and so I had a coworker who told me, hey, you can go over to the public defender's office. They have openings now, and it's a really great office. They work really well hand-in-hand with the district attorney's office. So you don't have an adversarial, opponent. It works well together.
That's interesting. I didn't realize that it was kind of looked at this way. I would look at public defenders as kind of like, the arch enemy of the district attorney. Yeah. He was trying to put my client into jail, that kind of thing.
You would think so. But back then, granted, this was quite a long time ago, back then we really worked together to find the right resolution for the behavior that happened. So the crime, which was interesting, and it was a different concept. It was kind of like that up where I was in Washington also. And so smaller community, smaller amount of people. And we really got to know each other. I mean, I had their cell phone, the DA's cell phone numbers. I had, I would be able to go over to their office, walk in, have all my cases, deal with all the cases. Hmm. Judge Hoppe, Judge Barnack, Judge Orr, all of these people were over at the district attorney's office when he first began. So that was what I did. After a while, I ended up at the county council's office. Mm-hmm. And at that time, there was Doug McGeary was in charge. And then quickly thereafter, I was able to do cases for Health and Human Services, for the DA's office, the sheriff's office, parole and probation. And so I got to meet all these other people in a different capacity. We worked on a federal trial. I got to go to federal court. I got to do depositions. And then the office kind of went through a little bit of a turmoil. I left.
Public defender's office? Or
no,
is this county council?
The county council's
county
office.
County council, okay. Yeah. I'm just trying to keep track of
Yeah, so. Sorry. So, and I missed being in trial. I missed being a litigator. I missed the courtroom. So I left and I went back. The DA's office did not take lateral positions at that time, meaning they, I would have had to go back to prosecuting low-level crimes again.
Oh,
and they only hired from within as far as seniority was concerned.
Oh, is it still that way?
Well, the office right now, since Beth Heckard announced her retirement, they have had a shift in leadership, and a lot of people who were senior attorneys left.
Why?
I've talked to a number of them, and they've told me that they didn't like the direction of how the office was going. They didn't like the leadership, and therefore they went elsewhere. Not necessarily for more money, not necessarily for better jobs.
Okay, because, you know, anytime you're wanting to be a district attorney, and we have to ask, okay, what would you do differently there? What do you believe then has gone wrong, and what would you, as district attorney, if the people were to elect you, would make this different?
So that's one of the reasons why I decided to run, is because of the fact that that office has gone through so much instability the last few years. And because all these senior, you know, attorneys left, the most experienced person in the office has maybe, I think, besides Beth Heckert, has, I think, approximately 9 years of experience. So what I'd like to do is go back to the office and start, like, recruiting people, taking laterals from other places, not, you know, not...
So taking a lateral is not against the law or the rules or anything like that. It's just a matter of whatever the policy of the district attorney is.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
So I have been approached by various other attorneys and district attorneys from around the area and around the, you know, the state, who have said that if I go into office, that they will come back, that they will, you know, they would be willing to come to our office to give that experience back and to have somebody to mentor the younger district attorneys that are currently there.
Okay. What about the public defender crisis? How has that affected the situation? And I don't know, I've asked this of your opponent, too. Mm-hmm. What could be done, if anything, to help facilitate some of this, or is it above our pay grade?
Well, honestly, I think that that's why you have to have a strong voice in the community. And you have to be able to work with judges. You have to be working with different people up in, you know, up in Salem, so that you can kind of move that process along. Yes, we have a public defender crisis, but our office currently, the public defender's office that I'm at, we have a very good retention rate. We rarely lose attorneys.
What has made it different? What's different about your office?
I think it's the leadership at my office. We are a really well-oiled machine. The district attorney's office, when they started losing all these, you know, these people, they actually started actively recruiting the public defenders to come over to the DEA's office.
Oh, okay. So in some ways, it made it tougher. Yeah. Everyone's going after the same pool. Hey, you know, that brings me up here. What about the rule which came out here recently, in which you don't necessarily have to pass the bar exam in order? Is that good policy to become an attorney?
You know, I don't know. I mean, because it's so new, I'm not sure how it's going to play out. It's interesting. It's different. But I'm not sure. I mean, I had to take the bar exam up in Washington, where I had to write for 3 days straight. No computer.
Yeah.
No, you know, Scantron, nothing like that. So I had to write it out.
Well, yeah.
So,
yeah, and I'm thinking at the very least, you would think that, you know, if you're able to pass the bar, you know, you're really you're able to operate at a high level, because I know there's a lot of writing involved that kind of stuff.
There is.
Because this is part of the job. Mm-hmm. And well, unless they're trying to, unless the Bar Association is trying to get us all replaced with AI, I don't know.
I don't know. I hope not.
Okay.
That would be bad.
All right. So, you know, not a fan, or you just don't know?
I don't know enough about it to have an opinion right now.
Okay.
It's so new that I would like to see how this whole plays out.
Alyssa Bartholomew is running for Jackson County District Attorney. All right. I'm going to ask you some of the questions I also asked other gentlemen last week here. And do you see any George Soros influence, or kind of fingers of influence, trying to mess with Jackson County in any way? We know that it's happened up in Portland with the Mike Schmidts of the world, and down in San Francisco Bay Area. Mm-hmm. And I just have to just lay it out there. I mean, you've been part of the public defender's part of it. What are you thinking?
I don't think that that has any bearing on Southern Oregon. We're really lucky down here. Southern Oregon is way different than it is up in
Portland. How do you think
Portland.
We've resisted that? I'm just curious, because it's been a big deal.
I think we have a good community base. I think we have good people who don't want to see that happen.
If I were to go through your org star, I'm not going to see any open society stuff?
No.
Okay. I just have to ask, all right? Because it has not worked out well in the cities, Los Angeles, San Francisco.
I agree.
And various others. Just want to make sure. Alyssa Bartholomew with me this morning here. What would you change as district attorney, maybe some specifics besides the laterals, and to fix some of the challenge that or the crisis as you've been talking about the last few years?
So I think a lot of it needs to be addressed is communication, open communication with law enforcement. I'm heavily backed by law enforcement agencies in the community, and I'm really proud of that. Being a defense attorney and having law enforcement, you know, support me and actively wanting me in that role is huge. They have found that it's the lack of communication between the district attorney's office currently and the law enforcement agencies.
Is the lack of communication, in your opinion, caused by just lack of people and time, or is there something else going on?
I think there. I don't know because I'm not there. But what I've been told is, you know, they don't even know who the district attorneys are. They don't know who the deputies are. A lot of them are newer because they had so many people leave over the past, you know, few months, and over the past year or so. And so they don't know who the deputy district attorneys are. I think that building up those relationships back to where they used to be, I think, is paramount to the success.
All right. What about prosecutorial experience? I know your opponent has made the claim that, well, I'm already here and I've been working. I've done nothing but prosecutions. Mm-hmm. This is what I do. And you know, so I'm going to ask you, when's the last time you prosecuted a case? And does that make a difference, though, in as to who's going to be district attorney?
I don't think that it does.
Why?
In fact, I think that because you want somebody who is well-rounded, you want somebody who can see it from all sides. You want somebody in that position that actually can say, oh, I see the loopholes that the other side is trying to bring. I know what they're trying to do. I know how to close those gaps. I know what needs to be done so that I can prosecute this case to the fullest. I know what discovery we need in order to fully prosecute it. I know what the, you know, the other side's going to say about X, Y, and Z. So I have that balance. I was a prosecutor for a long time.
How many years did you prosecute versus defending?
Well, I was a prosecutor from about 4 years, and then I came down here.
Okay.
And then I've been a defense attorney. I've been, you know, at the county counsel's office.
Defending the county, essentially, right?
Yeah. And so I've done a little bit of everything. I'm the only one that has been in state court, federal court, and appellate courts. Mm-hmm. And I started my career when my opponent was probably about 12 years old. So I have a lot of experience behind me.
Okay. Has there been procedural changes in being a prosecutor now that you would have to catch up on if you were just like district attorney? I'm just looking back to, you know, kind of what the opponent was talking about.
No, I don't think so. So I think that getting in that office as soon as I'm elected and then seeing what needs to be changed, seeing what's working well, talking with staff, talking with, you know, the other agencies, talking with the community and trying to figure out what do we need to make this the best office possible.
Right.
And that's what I want to do.
Alyssa Bartholomew with me. She's candidate for district attorney for Jackson County. I wanted to ask you about the fix for Measure 110, and this is House Bill 4002. I've been on the record. It's not a surprise. I'm sure you find I've not been a big fan of this. Everyone's patting themselves on the back. And is this going to help? What's it going to be for a district attorney dealing with this new reality of quote-unquote recriminalization? But I thought it was pretty thin. What do you think?
So my opinion on that is, again, the fact that I've been doing the defense work and the fact that I've, you know, worked with people, you know, on this measure specifically, Measure 110 was an absolute epic failure. We can all agree on that. Mm-hmm. And now that they've recriminalized drugs is a wonderful step in the right direction. The fact that the state has finally given the counties money in order to implement these programs that we're supposed to implement is going to take somebody who actually knows how to reach out to the community partners and talk to them, which I have that ability.
Is there enough of a stick, though, in House Bill 4002 to make a difference? That's what I'm concerned about, because when you look at the rise of the derelict homelessness, that just chronic homelessness, intractable problem. A lot of this, not all of it, but a major percentage of this has been driven by the inability of saying, no, you have to get some treatment here.
And that's one of the things I see on a regular basis is I have clients come in and they say, look, we can use drugs wherever we want, and nobody holds us accountable.
That's right.
And then, you know what? We're going to get a slap on the wrist, and we're going to go out, and we're going to do it again. And so these people, it's like children. I have three kids. Mm-hmm. If you hold them accountable in the beginning, then the risk of them doing that again is much less. So in order to, you know, implement these programs that the new, you know, 4002 has asked us to do, we're going to have to put into place these programs, like this LEADS program that I'm trying to put together.
Is this kind of the diversion court on steroids? Is that essentially what we're doing?
It is.
What we're going to do?
Yeah. And I think, again, we finally have the component that was lacking before, which was access to treatment. Before, we didn't have that at all. Like, mm-hmm. we would just give them a citation, and how many people are actually going to pay their citation or go to treatment?
Yeah, people with no assets in the first place.
Yeah.
Good luck
on
that.
So if you hold them accountable and you say, hey, you can either go to treatment. Actually, we have treatment facilities available because we've been given money to do that. Or you're going to go to jail. Well, you know, I mean, there's a stick. At least there is something for them to bite on and hopefully not do it again.
All right. As a defense attorney, when you were defending criminal defendants then, did you ever use or try to encourage, even through the back door, I don't know if there's any rules about this, but looking for the jury to go with some form of nullification. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on jury nullification, given that now you want to be the prosecutor, you know, that side of it.
Yeah, that was never anything I ever did. I always tried to, you know, I always hold myself to this is the law. The law needs to be implemented like this. And, you know, whatever a jury, I think a jury is extremely important. That's why we have them. That's why our country is so great.
Yeah, but the jury, of course, the jury's vote is the jury's vote.
Though. Right.
And I guess that, you can look at everything from you know, O.J. Simpson was certainly, arguably an example of jury nullification where the jury is judging not just the facts of the case, or even if they see the facts of the case, but they still say, we think the law is not good, I guess.
And that's for the jury to decide.
Okay. All right. So you're not one of these people that would just say, and if this is, you must, I guess.
No.
Okay.
I think that's the role of your district attorney is to make sure that you're the head legal and law enforcement officer in the county.
All I was getting at is that it's not that I think the jury nullification should be used to just like that. But but there are times you can see in which it could be a stopgap against an overstepping government.
Oh, I see.
Not that the state of Oregon would ever overstep on anything.
No.
You know, we've never seen, you know, any such matters there coming out. Okay, Measure 110 we pretty much covered. Mm-hmm. Is Measure 11 now gutted?
Measure 11. Oh, Measure 110?
No, Measure 11. I'm talking Measure 11 crimes, you know.
Measure 11
crimes. Kind of like the three strike thing. I mean, is that pretty much a dead letter these days, or is it still...
Oh, they still prosecute Measure 11 crimes all the time.
Yeah, I know, but I thought that the state legislature ended up passing some legislation that was making it easier to avoid some of that.
I think that, you know, I'm not going to comment on
I'm spitballing a little bit. I should have probably looked that up a bit, but I was just wondering if we are actually doing enough to really root out the violent crime. And I know you've seen both sides of this.
Yeah, and I truly do believe that, you know, victims of crimes need, you know, to be protected. And people who, you know, do things that are bad should be held accountable. An example of that I have is I was actually out at the grocery store a couple of months ago and going through my self-checkout because, you know, that's what we do nowadays. And I had a guy come up to me and said, Alyssa, is that you? And I turned around. I see this, like, well-dressed, you know, professional individual with these, you know, children. And I said, yes. And he said, hey, I'm so-and-so. I actually went to prison. You know, you were my attorney. I went to prison. I just wanted to say thank you. And I said, okay.
Yeah, as you're going, like, okay.
Yeah. But he said, thank you. I needed to go to prison because that was the only way that I was going to get my life back on track. And now I've been out for, I think at that time, he said he'd been out for like 8 years. And he's doing amazing. And so the system works. And the system, you know, is in place for a reason. And trust me, holding people accountable is really what we need to do, and we don't do that. I was just endorsed by the Chamber of Medford PAC, And they realized the fact that I, you know, have all these local ties, but that I really care about my community enough that the small businesses that are being vandalized, that are being, shoplifted from, that they want to have somebody who's going in there and going to prosecute those cases.
Okay. Does that kind of go hand in hand with the jail crisis, though, that we're looking at? Because I know right now, I know people that have run businesses in Southern mm-hmm. Oregon that they can't even call the cops anymore for major shoplifting. They could steal $1,000. What are they going to do? Nothing's going to be done. Mm-hmm. Nothing will happen if they catch somebody. So where do you see the way out of that?
I think, again, you have to work with the ability with what you have. Mm-hmm. And by, again, holding these people accountable by taking them, putting them in jail, even if it's just for 24 hours, even if it's just, you know, redirecting them into other programs, as long as you keep holding those people for what they did, mm-hmm. then you don't get as much recidivism. You don't get as many repeat offenders later on.
All right. I always give a candidate the final say on this. And so you're in the elevator over mm-hmm. at Jackson County Court, and then someone says, why are you running? What makes you a better candidate for district attorney than your opponent? And what's your elevator pitch?
I've been an attorney for over 20 years. I have been a prosecutor. I have been a defense attorney. I have been a civil litigator. I have done it all. I have seen the loopholes. I have seen the problems. I know the instability over at that office. I want to be that person to bring that stability back. I want to be that person to have the back of our law enforcement. I want to be that person who is there for the community. I have the experience. I have the knowledge. I have the dedication. And I have the drive.
All right. Alyssa Bartholomew, running for district attorney. You can find out more about her, friendsofalyssa, ALYSSA.com. And I'll post that on KMED.com. Alyssa, thank you very much. Good
thank
luck.
Thank you very okay. much.
It's 8 o'clock. This is KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KCMD, Grants Pass, Translator K2, 94AS, Ashland.